everyone, and welcome to Globalize Asia. Support for this podcast comes from Royal Beans Chocolates. Royal Beans is based out of Bangalore in India and specializes in Belgian chocolates infused with exciting flavors like masala chai, cappuccino, berry blast, walnut marble, and many more. You can gift these special crafted chocolates to your loved ones in India by visiting their website www.royalbeans.in. Use the promotional code GLA10 to get 10% discount off your order. Thank you.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Globalization. Our guest today is a very dynamic, influential, and a man with ample humility. He's a partner in one of the biggest Indian law firms in the UK. His remit involves various government, corporate, and charitable projects across UK, India, and African corridor. Nick Clegg, Mukesh Ambani, Her Majesty the Queen, and Narendra Modi are few of the elites in the long list of influences that Vijay has collaborated with. Let's hear Vijay's story on today's podcast. So Vijay, thank you very much for coming on and talking to me on globalization. It would be probably understatement to say you're a man who wears a lot of hats. I've gone through your resume or a CV, as you call it, online, and it's amazing that obviously you are a partner in a law firm, you are a chairman of ASSOCHAM UK, ambassador to various charities, etc. So rather than me repeating what's already on internet, my curious question is, which role do you enjoy playing the most?
I enjoy a role of connecting people. So I am a man with the, you know, you can call introduction machine, or making introduction, connecting people beyond boundaries. So generally, most of the people from UK, Europe, or America, those who want to be connected with India. So I am connecting with them to the right kind of people, whether it's a government, or whether it's a bureaucracy, whether it's a business people, or whether it's a, you know, they need to establish their businesses in India, and reverse. So generally, most of the people come to me when they are coming to UK to establish the businesses, whether they are doing company incorporation or helping on the visa side, or helping them to buy companies in UK, helping them to, you know, raise money through listed private money, and helping them to expand their businesses in UK. So it is start with businesses connecting both ways. So right. So that is the role I really enjoy, and that's the role I think suits me.
Okay.
Very much.
Yeah. So I understand, as part of your day job, so to speak, which obviously
yes.
have a lot of flavors, you are a lawyer by
yeah.
profession,
yes,
and
please.
You are a partner in Singhani & Co.
Yes, please.
I mean, you enjoy working with people and connecting people on UK and India corridor.
Yeah.
But is there a size of companies that you serve, or is that, I mean, are we talking about Tatas and Billas of the world, or are we talking about a startup incubator kind of a companies who are also looking to probably from UK want to set up some kind of operations in
India? Generally,
I
am involved with medium-sized companies. So certainly we have a portfolio, we have a smaller companies, a startup as well, but not many. So those companies are grown up, so we just get involved at that time and then nurture them and to grow further.
Right.
So there are certainly, you know, the bigger companies as well, but number wise, the maximum companies are in the middle range, where their turnover could be, you know, $5 million and above.
Right.
And so we help them, we guide them, we guide their board, we nurture them, we also help them on the financing side, connecting side, increasing the, you know, market, increasing the expansion, all kind of thing. Yes.
So that requires a lot of business knowledge per se, isn't
yeah.
it? So obviously you have gained that over the period of time. You've found contacts or networking within the government sector, within private sector, etc. How easy or hard it was to reach that level? I mean, what I'm trying to get at is your initial days as you
yeah.
started as a lawyer, you know,
yeah.
how did you know that you want to go this path, or was it just came your way?
I think I won't say it was a clear path that I have to go this way. I think it's as you come in touch with the right kind of people. So I think, you know, my entry from India to UK, that again a level. And then within UK, again, meeting the right kind of people, meeting the people who are with finance, those who are investment, or you can say investor community, or so that helps me.
Right.
And then slowly you navigate your way. And then slowly, as we are highly connected with Indian banks in UK,
right.
So that also gives us an edge. And so we help, and then we work with many partners. It's not that every advice is given by me. So like in my office in London, we are close to 20 lawyers. Then we also have multiple business consultants. We also work with many financial consultants, many, you know, various kind of consultants, those who help to grow the business. So you also get inside, you also grow your knowledge, and then you also scale up yourself.
No, I think, yeah, you're right. You know, sometimes the best thing to learn is to get your hands dirty, and
yeah.
You know, in the process, you know, you network with the right kind of people. Let me take you back, you know, very early days. Where did you grow up in India? Because you mentioned briefly about India. So
yes,
just want to touch upon
correct.
That.
So I grew up in a village.
Okay.
And I grew up a village near UP, near Lucknow. District is called Tikunia Kiri in Lakhimpur. And I did my basic education from there. Then I came for my graduation to Lucknow. So I did my graduation law and MBA from Lucknow. Then I was selected and as a campus select. Then I came to Delhi. I stayed in Delhi for 2 years, close to 2.5 years. Then I came to London. So that's my journey so far.
So are you a bit of a celebrity back home? Do you normally go
I don't think that way. But certainly, you know, you create your own identity. Yes.
I mean, obviously we're sitting in a very swanky office in the central London. The photos around here is only the listeners can see. But all kind of politicians from royals to, you know, Ambanis of the world, etc. How does it feel? I mean, does it come with a certain pressure in terms of that you have access to those kind of individuals?
It comes with a lot of responsibility. It comes with a sense of responsibility, you know, like the top of the people, if you are connected and if you have access to, and then if you don't deliver,
right.
If they are calling you, they're calling you for a purpose and they expect you to respond immediately, then respect and the level of, you know, how you respond and how you keep those conversations to yourself,
right.
You know, so those things are really, really important. So, and delivering. So I think, so that I have learned and then I stick to that. So whatever you promise, you deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way, I think it comes with the pressure, no doubt.
But that's interesting. That's the irony of coming from India, isn't
yes.
it? We promise a lot of things
yes.
and we sometimes fail to deliver
yeah.
because we don't know how to say no.
Yeah.
You know, it's especially like I look after, in my day job, I also deal with a lot of Asian companies, not
yeah.
just Indian. And I feel and I see that, you know, coming from India also, I see that it's in our nature to agree to it and then figure it out later.
Yes.
That how do we, which, you know, what to give priority to. So have you learned coming, I mean, working in UK, obviously, you've got a different working, you know, working ethics. And when you deal with India,
yeah.
you know how things work in India.
Correct.
Have you learned to balance that, those two?
Yeah, that's our job. So certainly working ethics in UK are different compared to India. But in India also in big corporate,
yeah.
so you have the corporate governance, you have the, you know, hierarchy, you have the style, you have the virtually slowly it's a globalization, you know, so everywhere it's kind of a same.
Yeah.
But certainly if you deal with a very smaller companies in India, so then it becomes difficult, you know, so they don't have the procedure in place. They don't know,
yeah.
you know, the financial world much. So there you have to give more time. You have to nurture them more. But overall, people in UK are honest. You know, they whatever you hear, whatever they promise, they deliver. So in India, that culture is, you know, a little like, so there is a little bit difference in that.
Probably,
yes,
yeah.
yeah.
Okay, interesting. I want to touch upon a very interesting topic, especially coming from UK. It's everybody talks about it, Brexit.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of Indian companies, a lot of Indian MNCs sees UK as a gateway to Europe.
Yeah.
And obviously there was a lot of media attention at the time of referendum.
Correct.
That we need to, or as UK, we need to stay in EU. Now, do you see in your line of work that how the sentiments have changed for these companies? What are their worries, so to speak? Because come March 2019, we'll be outside EU.
Yeah.
How does that affect your, your dealings with them?
Yeah, currently, if you see, this is a climate of uncertainty, which is not good for any business. So at the moment, we are living in an uncertain world where companies are holding their decisions. They are not making the big decision to come to UK. But I feel Brexit, at the moment, we are far behind. But in future, we would gain. India would certainly gain from the Brexit. India and UK will have good bilateral trade agreement, favorable trade agreement in favor of India. So overall future is bright, but at the moment we are in limbo, and which is not good for UK or for India.
Well, at least you're not in the same position as probably your counterpart in US, where the Trump administration is doing simply what they call protectionism.
Correct.
That to look after your own market first, and reciprocate what the import duties are in UK, etc. So at least you don't have to face, or you don't have to explain that to your clients. So
that's correct.
I want to touch upon also, there are a lot of you're ambassador to a lot of charities.
Yes.
How did you get involved in those? I mean, is that something you started it, or is that something because of, as you said, responsibility and your access to so many elites of the world, you get pulled into it?
Both, a bit of both. One, certainly as a, you can say inbuilt, I want to help wherever possible. So so that's inbuilt in me. So I certainly want to do whatever best I can do in my personal capacity, or in the organization capacity. But when you also rightly said, because of my position, because of the connection, I get sunk into multiple organization. So, and even sometime I made them very clear from the start that I may not be able to give time, but certainly they benefit because of the connection. If you make one connection and that person donates or give them visibility, so it helps the organization, which I have no problem in doing that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, charity is again something which is very close to my heart as well.
Yes.
But it's how do you do? I mean, for me, I want to spend more time rather than just money.
Yeah.
I just want to understand, how do you get involved in charities? So I've got
I'm involved in more than 10 such organizations.
Wow.
So, and some of them are very, very large. Well, I became a brand ambassador of a charity, third largest charity in UK called Bernardo's.
Yeah.
So Bernardo's, where Queen is the patron now, I think another royal, they are patron of the Bernardo's. So I got involved because they are doing very, very great job. They have thousands of service line for children, for the poor children, for sheltering of children, for educating, for vulnerable children. So initially that was a helping side. But again, the motive was connecting Bernardo's to Asian community. Earlier, this charity was purely for the native English people here. They had no idea about Asian. And as you know, our Asian people, they contribute 10 times more compared to the native, to the economy. So our Asian people are rich, hardworking, money-making, creating wealth, creating a good for the economy. So I thought, why not I should connect Bernardo's to the Asian people? And I became successful. So we got connected to a lot of right kind of people. Now that at least in Asian circle, people are knowing about Bernardo's.
Right.
So that is one example.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
So like that, there are multiple charities where I'm trying to help them to create visibility and connecting them to the right kind of people.
So in terms from listener's point of view,
yeah.
If somebody wants to get involved in one of those charities,
yeah.
What's your role in, are you more looking into raising funding for these charities, or do you also bring
both.
People together?
Both. Let's say if somebody want to get involved, they can write to me, and I can connect them to the right kind of people within the charities, and then they can take a role. Like this, Bernardo's have 6,000 people working for them in UK. So it's a huge organization.
That's volunteers or on payroll?
No, on payroll.
Okay.
6,000 people working for them on the payroll. So as a volunteer, there could be many more.
Yeah.
So again, So depend on the, you know, person, what they want to do, whether they want to take a job, whether they want to do volunteer. So again, we can help them, connect with them to multiple charities of their choice.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So in terms of the future roadmap, you know, minus the Brexit between UK and India, what kind of projects you're working on which you can share with our listeners?
So generally, my remit is to promote business between UK and India. So as you know, like I was chairing Asian Business Association at London Chamber. So during my tenure, I got close to 100 new members to London Chamber. And those 100 members are now connected with London Chamber. That's the London Chamber is the biggest chamber in UK. And they do a lot of lobbying, they do a lot of networking, they do a lot of trade mission, they do connect people, they do, you know, if there are any issues, business issues, they raise those awareness. So now these 100 companies, those through me, those who got connected with Chamber, so I got them visibility in India, in Asian country, whether Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka. So that way we get connected them. I was also advisor to Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg earlier on the business side. So we took the biggest delegation to India, close to 150 biggest, small, big UK company to India. So again, our purview or, you know, purpose and objective was to connect Indian companies, those who want to come to UK, and UK company to get them market in India. Mm. So that's the role I want to do and play, and you know, more and more. So we are working on many such initiative, taking a delegation like 2 weeks ago, Baroness Verma, she was a minister, she was in India. So as you know, I chair Indo-European Business Forum. So we hosted a very big event for her in Delhi. So she took close to 10-15 UK delegates and those who were in India for looking for businesses in UK. So we hosted a very big event. Again, the idea was to connect business from both the sides.
Right. I mean, clearly India is, you know, where you're from, India is in your heart, but you're not limited to India. You know, your efforts are also with African corridor.
Yes, correct.
How did you get involved there?
Okay, so I have, like, I am Vice President of Africa International Business Forum, and one of my other very close friend, he became ambassador of one African country, and then he became as advisor to 10 West African countries on exclusive basis. He has signed agreement worth of $20 billion in those countries. So again, through that, I have huge access in those African countries. So again, my job is to see how Indian and Africa get connected, or maybe UK company who want to do things in Africa can get connected, because Africa and India can do much better and they can learn from each other. Particularly Africa can learn from India. India is 10-20 year advance where Africa is today. Mm-hmm. So in Africa, you need a low cost model. You need a model which can, you know, immediately take off. So again, we are trying to do as much as we can do. My remit is more India-UK.
Yeah, but I think once, as you said, because you're talking to so many of these influencers, so to speak, in the in the market, you get your foot in the door to various countries, and then all you have to do is bring them different corridors together. But to reach that level, you've gone through a lot of hard work. I can't help myself but to notice there is a photo in the room with Her Majesty the Queen. How was the experience meeting her face to face?
We are the, I think, first neighbor to Queen. I live at Buckingham Gate and we're 1 minute walk. So when I came to this country in close to 2000, so I have written a letter to Queen. I said, Her Majesty, we are your first neighbor and we are celebrating our first Diwali here and we would like to invite you to our home. And she kindly replied.
Oh, wow.
That was a great experience. But I always wanted to meet her in person. I saw her multiple time, you know, from just 1 meter away, but always driving in car. But I wanted to meet and, you know, shake hand. And I got invited to Buckingham Palace as well, but again, I could not meet at that time. So recently, last year, I had an opportunity, I was invited and I met her. And at this age, she is so graceful, so attentive, and I cannot describe myself, you know, like how excited, how I was to meet her. And I could talk to her 3-4 minutes. And I told her what thing I am involved in. I also told I am your first neighbor. And I also said to her, my son, he also has kind of a desire to meet her. And so she is fully involved, dedicated, and raising the flag. So I think this is a proud for UK. And and how much she does.
Yeah.
And that's why I think she is fit and carrying on. So it was absolutely great moment for me and my wife to meet the Queen last year. Yeah.
That sounds very humble of her to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a simple letter.
Yeah.
She responded, and
yes.
You know, the saying goes, right, you don't ask, you don't get.
Absolutely.
You don't get. That's interesting. From one public figure,
yes.
To let's try
yes.
Another public figure, which I can see here is Narendra Modi ji.
Correct.
How was experience? You know,
I am admirer of him from the time when he was the Chief Minister of Gujarat. He came to UK maybe I think 15-16 years ago, and so I had a first interaction with him. He was very dynamic even at that time, and he was charismatic. He could interact with people. He could create a confidence in the investor community, and that's why the Gujarat could prosper. And the growth model, he took it from Gujarat and applied in the whole country. So today, whatever visibility, what we are seeing in the world, whatever importance we are getting it as an Indian, as a nation, on diplomacy, on economic side, I think because whole credit goes to Mr. Narendra Modi. As a one-man show, as a machinery, he works kind of 24 hours all the time. So I am highly, highly impressed. And when I met him recently, when he was a prime minister, he came to UK, I think in 2015, November, I had a chance to meet him and to stand with him and to have a photograph with him. It was absolutely great moment. Yes. So I admire him, and I think he is taking the country right ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking all the right initiative, you may not see the benefit immediately, but in longer term, having a GST in line, having a Skill India, having a Make in India, having, Clean India, multiple initiative,
yeah,
which government has started, which will give the result in longer period of time. As you can see, this week, French President was in India, and India is now part of Solar Alliance. That's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who thought before this government came into the power, we in the whole country, we had 10,000-15,000 megawatt of solar. Today we are talking about 150,000 megawatt of solar power. One of our client, you asked earlier what matter we are working on, very large fund from UK has just signed a deal. We are working on that to invest starting with 30 million pound, that will go 100 million pound very soon. So they are investing in the solar project in India. So there are multiple defense company, those who are looking for projects in India, solar companies, wind power companies, so this is dynamism, long-term thinking of this government, which will take India to the places. So I'm very bullish, and I wish him all the best, and I wish we have multiple leaders like him to grow the country, to make sure all the people are, taking benefit. As you know, in India, we have huge gap. You have 300 million people, those who cannot earn a dollar a day. Then you have 400 million middle class, and then you have extreme richness as well. So I think the good, like if we, the people, the poor people, if we can take them a little bit up, at least give them education, give them healthcare, give them, the basic thing what they need, then country will become great, not otherwise. So I think the initiative has to go towards that side. So that's my wish, desire, and I will do whatever I can do in that sense. Yeah.
No, very well said, and I think nicely summarized as well, because it's a nation's mood. Everybody they agree with what Narendra Modi's G's policy is, and you can see that the benefit is long term, and hopefully, unlike our neighbors China, where the policies are completely going different way.
Yeah.
But who knows? Sometimes work. Depending on cultures, things like that, it might work, it might not. But let's not get too political about it. Was there any instances in your experiences dealing with these big figures or massive influencers that you they came up as a surprise, which you had, you know, sometimes we have a certain aspect that or perspective about an individual that maybe he or she is like that, but when you actually meet it completely opposite, maybe for bad or for good reasons. But was there any occasions where you felt like, oh, I didn't expect that from him or her?
You know, I will give you two a little bit different, but I'll bring it back. So I admire or kind of a role model two people in my life. One is Mr. D.C. Singhania ji, where I work, Singhania & Company. So again, he is a person, you know, thinking 50 years ahead. He was the highest paid lawyer in India. And, you know, like in the legal fraternity, he was the man. Any company, whether Bill Gates was coming to India, any company coming to India was meeting him and taking his advice. So certainly he has a great influence on me. But again, he is so humble, approachable, and absolutely amazing. At the age of 88 or 89, he is still very active. He donated most of the wealth to the university he created. So again, I am completely taken aback with the simplicity, with the thinking vision he has. The other person I admire and I'm close to, Mr. G.P. Hinduja. So again, you know, one of the richest man in UK, and the person is so humble, so loving, so caring, so hardworking, dedicated all the time. So, you know, if you are meeting him, any ordinary person can meet him, approach him, and he will make him or her so comfortable. He will joke, you will not feel that he is of that age or aura or money. So, and he talks about philosophy. He every day goes to temple and he looks after his family, friend, anyone, you know, in his circle. He is so good. So, and again, so that is like initially before I was not knowing him, again, you think, okay, these people, those who are rich will have a different lifestyle, different thinking, different, you know, way of, but the person is absolutely, you will not find that person in the world at all. So, yes, so that's the two instances I would like to bring in.
Well, thanks for sharing with us. I think you clearly surrounded yourself with, knowingly, unknowingly, with very humble and
yes,
people with humility. So right. I think it's, and that shows in you as well, probably, you know, you pick up, and also your humble background. All I can say is a big thank you for giving your time today, and wish you all the best and
thank
all the good work that
me.
You're doing for thank India and UK Corridor.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gagan.
Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. You can catch all upcoming episodes on the website globalize-asian.co.uk or via your iOS or Android devices. Also, if you wish to join us as a speaker and share your story, please do drop us a message via the contact form on the website.